Gospel of John, chapter 8, for our scripture reading. And I would normally have someone else do it, but I wanted to do it this morning, first of all, because we have small numbers, I knew that, and I wasn't really sure who was going to be here and available. But then, most importantly, over the next 3 weeks, I would like for us to spend some time in our reading of scripture and prayer in the Gospel of John, specifically chapter 8, mostly all the words of Jesus. There are some narrative interludes, but mostly the words of Jesus. And I have put this under the heading, cryptic though it may be at this point, the love of God in Christ, Jesus, through a surprising lens. The love of God in Christ Jesus through a surprising lens. It seems to me that people, and including people in the church, we have a fairly narrow and waffly view of love. It's kind of mushy. It's kind of indistinct. It's nice. It's polite. And we do have some sense that love includes giving to others, and that's right, and considering the interests of others above ourselves, that's correct also. But I want us to think about love, and specifically God's love in Christ Jesus, in a bit of a different way. And the reason I want to do this is that I had a bit of trouble over the 2 weeks that I was gone. It wasn't relational conflict. It wasn't physical or mental health issues. It was a heart issue. And I don't think it just manifested itself. I think it's probably true that I just noticed. I found myself in several different situations, both when I was away on vacation in South Carolina in Myrtle Beach, but also in transit, both going and coming back, when it was hard for me to love. And I knew that I was struggling over the point of love. And I had to ask the question, why is that? What's going on? If you've been here for very long, you've heard me quote Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, and then expound a bit on the truth that God's love is in us if the Holy Spirit is in us. You remember Romans 5 and 5, don't you? And hope does not disappoint, because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So if I'm born again, having been bought by the blood of Christ, then I have the Holy Spirit within me. We find in Romans 8 and elsewhere that if we don't have the Holy Spirit, then we don't belong to Christ. So if we belong to Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. And if God is love and his presence is the Holy Spirit in us, individually as well as manifested among us corporately, if we have trouble loving, what is that about? I suppose that you might also have the same problem that I have, and that is I normally want to blame the person I'm not loving. Oh, that person is unlovable, so of course it's difficult for me to love. That person's unlovable. Or that person's behavior is beyond the pale, and so I can excuse myself for not loving him or her, whether it's an individual person or if it's a people group that I don't happen to want to have anything to do with because, well, you know, of their behavior. Well, as I processed this, I had to admit, and this is hard, I had to admit the problem wasn't in them. The problem was in me. The barrier to loving is not out there, external, it's in me. So I started to look into this. I already knew that we were going to be in 1 John for the next 3 weeks, not before I left on my trip, but in the processing this love thing and this scripture verse that kept coming back to me that we'll look at not this week, but probably next week and maybe the week after that. This concept from God's word that perfect love casts out fear. Okay, so if perfect love casts out fear and I'm not loving, much of the reason is that I'm afraid of something. Afraid of that person, afraid of transparency, afraid to, you know, who knows what? Fear. Fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. If I'm not loving, what am I afraid of? But as I processed it, I realized that Jesus manifested God's love in a number of ways. Now, normally we think about, and this is true, but we normally think about Jesus loving us by leaving heaven, being born of a virgin, living a righteous life in the flesh, calling and teaching his disciples, doing some pretty cool miracles along his way, going to the cross, rising again, and ascending to the Father to intercede on our behalf. And he did all those things, both historically and spiritually. Those are truths, but those do not encompass all of the ways that Jesus did and is and will love. So the surprising lens that I'm talking about is the love of God in Christ manifested as he confronts us in our error and convicts us of our sin. So truth and love are met perfectly in the person of Christ, and they're not divorced or separated from each other. Well, let's look at it. John chapter 8, if you'd take your Bible in hand, if you're using our pew Bibles this morning, and I do hope that you'll take one in hand, please look with me on page 1037, that's 1037, and I'll be reading from verse 12 through verse 30. Remember, this is under the heading, The Love of God in Christ Jesus Through a Surprising Lens. This is the way Jesus loved those folks on that day. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. And they said to him, therefore, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. But no one arrested him because his hour had not come. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will he kill himself, since he says, Where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, Who are you? Jesus said to them, Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world that I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Jesus loved other people in his earthly days, including these, his religious opponents. And he is still loving us in our day by confronting them, confronting us in false beliefs, false behaviors, false worship, and false practices of religion. And anyone who ever sang a Christmas carol knows that Jesus came to demonstrate God's love for all mankind. But I want us to notice today and over the next 3 weeks that Jesus continues to love us as he's confronting us. In fact, the confrontation is an expression of his love. That Jesus is loving us even as he is convicting us. The conviction is an expression of his love for us. And if he doesn't do these things, confronting and convicting, we remain where we are. We remain in our sin. We remain lost. We remain in darkness, in error, without hope. The same is true for our loved ones. Right now, my family, my daughters and my wife, my son Chris is here this morning, but my wife and my daughters are in South Carolina, and on Thursday evening, Shelley's brother flew in to visit with them for a few days. And those of you who have been here for a while know that Brian has been living in the homosexual lifestyle for well over 10 years now, since I guess 1994 or 95. It's hard to know what love does in that situation. See, to address the issue is to confront, and to confront means that there is relational conflict, and yet, to leave Brian where he is to leave him without hope. Leave him in darkness. To leave him in error. So the next 3 weeks, including this Sunday, I'd like for us to process what it means to love as God loves us. Let's pray together. Father, I'm so glad that you loved me despite my unlovability. In fact, it's true for all of us. You don't love us because of something in us. You love us because of who you are. Your word proclaims God is love. And so often, I think we misunderstand what your love is. You are love. You also are truth. And Jesus showed up on our scene as love and truth incarnate. The embodiment of truth and love. Every word issuing from his mouth, truth and love. Every action that he ever took, truth and love. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us more about how to love truthfully and how to speak truth lovingly. We can't choose either or if we are to follow you, because truth and love are not in opposition or contradiction of each other. They're both met in Jesus. I pray, Lord, for those who are struggling because they haven't been loved as you would intend for us to love each other. I pray, Lord, for those of us like me who struggle with loving others in the way that you would have us love others. That is, not based upon anything in them, but because your love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom you have given us. And if that means confrontation is the loving thing to do, then give us the strength and the courage to follow through. If remaining silent is the loving thing to do, give us courage and patience. But frequently, perhaps even usually, love is both word and action. So help us to follow you in love, in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.